Would you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, today we celebrate a gift only conceivable in the endlessly creative imagination of God Almighty. Who'd have thunk? Who else could have conceived of this day, the tongues, the sound, all of that? This gift was designed to blow away our inadequacies and to spark our imaginations at the same time. So let's try to let go a little bit. Let's try to get out of our own selves and out of our own seat and, for gosh sakes, out of our own way. And let's just try to imagine that day. Let's try to put ourselves there just for a minute. Imagine Jerusalem is bursting at the seams. There may have been as many as 1 million people in old Jerusalem on that particular day, Jews of all nationalities from 1,000 miles. Would gather. Because you see, this was an already established pilgrim festival. It was a celebration of the giving of the law on Mount Sinai 50 days after the Exodus from Egypt. We find that when we open the book of Exodus to chapters 19 and 20 and a couple that follow it, and we get this blessing of the law and we see where this is. And so they're already gathered. They're already celebrating this historic event in their old religion. When God does this new thing, this striking, stunning new thing, when God takes advantage of his people who are already gathered and said, "You think that was great? Wait till you see this." And in a stunning instance marked by wind and fire, the gift was given. And the divisions of religion and culture and position and language, all of those were blown away in an instant. Babelgate, that separation of all God's people by language, was bridged. They could understand one another for the first time in centuries. And birthed by this creative chaos, the Holy Spirit arrived and the church burst into being in a day. In a day. Imagine, it must have been incredibly moving. Think about what it was like to be surrounded by all of these people, most of whom you knew were foreigners, most of whom you couldn't understand, most of whom were dressed differently than you, thought differently than you, experienced differently than you, and certainly spoke differently than you. But all of a sudden, here you are, and you're united in this incredible moment. People who had previously only had a fragmentary relationship with God, situated within the context of their own religion and in their culture and their language, now heard a singular story of God's power told in a multiplicity of languages. How is that possible? Only in the power of God. What was once many was now one. What was once multi was now united in that instant, like that. The effect was dramatic. The sheer numbers, 3,000 were baptized that day. That's remarkable. But perhaps the transformative power is better measured by another standard. By another standard. Of all the lives changed amidst the spectacle and the sacrament of that day, none were more changed than Peter's. None. When the gift arrived, this frightened and failed disciple who had denied the truth of who he was to a simple Jewish serving girl became the fearless and forceful apostle who spoke the truth of Jesus Christ to all who would hear. There's a miracle. There's a miracle for you, a miracle of transformation. Peter began to see the world and his place in it through fresh eyes. And with new courage, and with ever greater conviction. And the moment the gift of the Holy Spirit settled upon him became the moment that God became personal to him. The moment that Christ, the one that he had walked with for 3 years, became more real than ever. And the cross became the calling And from that point for Peter, there would be no going back. He's all in, and it's all in him. Now imagine this. Imagine this. See Peter. He's stepping boldly to the fore with complete disregard for the peril that lies all around him in the forms of the religious authorities and the civil authorities and everything else. Peter marches out into these crowded streets in Jerusalem, throws up his arm and says, "Listen up! Listen up!" And what a message. What a sermon. No punches pulled. It's as if those tongues of flame had ignited Peter's own spirit. Listen to him in bits again. He's unflinchingly honest. He said, "You know, you that are Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders, and signs that God did through him among you, as you yourselves know, this man handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its power." Amazing. He's calling them all out as they surround him. "You killed him, but God raised him up." Where's that coward that crept away in front of a serving girl? He's gone. Where's that guy that returned to fishing? He's gone. Now there's only Peter. Peter the apostle. Peter the rock on whom the church would be founded. And he's unforgettably forthright. "Repent and be baptized, all of you," he says. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The promise, he says, being unfailingly inviting, a word we've been exploring in the last couple of weeks. The promise is for you, for your children, for all who are far away, for all whom the Lord our God calls. There's graciousness. There's graciousness. Peter is reaching to them all and saying, "Yes, I've told you how you were, but now I'm going to tell you how it will be and how you will be, because you've received this gift and it's for all of you." Remarkable. Who could have imagined this from Peter? Isn't this the guy who was last seen in a fishing boat with an empty net, full of despair, all hope gone, turned back toward his old life? I don't know about you. You've heard me say this sort of thing before, but I am stunned, absolutely stunned by Peter. I'm excited by Peter. I'm inspired by Peter. You see, more than anything, I'm encouraged by Peter because of this, you see. Jesus Christ has the love, the will, and the power to change us. We see that in Peter, and he's given us the gift to make it happen. The Holy Spirit. Do you need proof? Look at Peter. If Peter, then you. And if you, than me. Peter told us earlier in a letter, Christ has given us new birth into a living hope. And he, Peter, is exactly what he meant. New birth into a living hope. Luke tells us that those who heard Peter's message were, quote, cut to the heart. Well, Peter is the message. The transformation of Peter is the potential of God for each and every one of us. We can join him. We can join him. So if they were cut to the heart, how about you? How's your heart today? Do you feel the power of that Spirit moving? Do you feel God nudging you forward or pushing you forward? Do you want to join Peter and leave behind your timidity and step out and say, "Yes, this is how it is in the world"? Imagine standing there on Pentecost morning amidst the wind and the fire as the Holy Spirit descended upon Christ's people. What must that have been like? And now imagine this, the promises for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, for everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. How remarkable. How blessed. You see, the dying Christ gave us a gift 50 days ago. A cross. A cross. And he told us to take it up and to follow him. But today, the risen Christ gives us another gift. The power to carry it. Amen.